One good thing about working through books of the Bible is you have to preach it all. The parts you like and the parts that are encouraging and the parts that people get excited about and then the parts that people don't get so excited about. The bitter medicine that we need to hear. And so we tackled some of that this morning. And I reminded folks if they wanted to skip out tonight where we would be tonight. And I'll remind you again, we'll be probably again here next Sunday morning. Verse 27, Jesus says, "But I say unto you which hear." Remember, we said that this wasn't just a physical hearing, but it was those who have spiritual ears to hear truth. When you have spiritual ears to hear truth, truth resonates. And truth becomes important. So he says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what profit or what benefit, what reward, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And all God's people said, we should say that's in there. I wish it wasn't, but it's in there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have returned to this portion of Scripture tonight. It is your word. It is the authoritative word of God. We believe that it is the very breath of God, inspired, inerrant, infallible. We believe every word is true and profitable for instruction and correction and for edification. So God, as we come again to this portion of Scripture, I pray, God, that you would help our minds to think, to comprehend, open our hearts to hear, our spiritual ears and our hearts to hear, to receive your word. And I pray, God, that as we go through it, that this word would cause us to not only to think differently, but to behave differently. And God, for that to happen, we need the work of God to be moving and operating in our hearts. And so, God, we ask that you would do something in our lives with your word that would make us different and glorifying to you. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me quickly recap what we said this morning about verses 27 through 30. We said that the priority of the Christian life, that part of the Christian life that should have the priority in our life is love. And we talked about the substance of that love. It's not a natural affection love, not sorge. It's not a passionate love between a man and a woman. It's not eros. It's not phileo, it's not a brotherly love, but it is an agape love. It is a godly love. It is a divine love. It is the love that God has for us, we are to have for others. And specifically, the subjects of this love that Jesus specifies here is we are to have this agape, godly love, the love that doesn't find its cause in the lovableness or the attractiveness or the merit of the one we are loving. We should have this for our enemies, those who hate us, those who abuse us, those who speak wrongly about us. We are to love those people. The principles of that love, or the principles of the Christian life, it is to be an act of love. He says, not only love your enemies, but how do I love my enemies? I am to do good to them. Not just to be passive and not hurting them or harming them, but I'm actually to take the initiative and do good to them which hate you. It is to be an aspiring love. Bless them that curse you. We are to want, desire the best for them. We are to speak kindly of them. We are to speak encouragement of them. Although they are cursing us, we don't return their curses with curses. We return their curses with blessings, desiring the best for them. And then it is an appealing love. We are to pray for them. The ones that despitefully use us, we are to pray that God would bless them, that God would help them, that God would shower His blessings upon them. And then the practice of the Christian life, how does that look? Well, Jesus tells us here, if we are smitten on one cheek, we're to offer the other. And that's what I call to be gentle. I don't think it means to be beaten up or to not to defend yourself. I think it means this. We are to minister to people, and even when they insult us or slap us, we are to continue to minister. We are not to let that insult to stop us, and we certainly are not to retaliate and to smite back when we have been smitten. And then we talked about generosity. He says here that if one taketh thy cloak, don't forbid him to also take your coat. We said that it seems to be this love is a generous love, that if something is stolen or taken or are removed from us through whatever means, we're not to withhold, we're not to stop ministering just because we may lose things. And then it says, him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. There is the graciousness. If we have lent something, if we have had something taken from us and it doesn't come back, then let it go. Don't ask for it again. And tonight we come to verse 31 through 35. So I'm hoping that you, as I have been this week, have been in introspection of myself, because I can think of a lot of people that needed to hear that message this morning, right? That message was for a lot of people this morning, right? But the primary person that message was for was me. It's easy for us to point our finger and say, you need to love your enemies, instead of letting the text, letting the Spirit take the Word of God and introspecting ourselves to make sure that these things are true for us. And this is what I said this morning. Remember, I said I had two concerns. One was that this kind of love is the way that God loves me in my rebellion, in my hostility, in my enmity. God still loved me. While I was yet a sinner, God loved me. And while I was an enemy, God loved me. And I still am rebellious and still am hostile at times and still hateful at times, yet God still loves me. There's nothing in me that caused God to love me. And I'm embarrassed, I said this morning, I'm embarrassed that I mistreat that love. And I'm embarrassed that I take that love for granted. And I'm further embarrassed that I have received that kind of love from God And there are many times that I don't offer that kind of love. I don't extend that kind of love even to my enemies. And so we are works in progress, but it's that kind of text that really reveals to us how far we still have to go. We're nowhere near complete what God has for us. And so tonight we want to look at verse 31 primarily and the verses that follow. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise, which is what we call, in some variation, the golden rule. It is a frequently used text. Sometimes it is a very loosely used text. And it is used a lot of times without any real understanding of what Jesus is saying and without any of its context and meaning. The Old Testament idea of what Jesus sets forth here is found in Leviticus. And in the Old Testament, it's given to us and it's proclaimed in a negative sense. It's like this: one should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated. Instead, in other words, don't do this. You know, it's the Old Testament, thou shalt not. Don't treat others the way others treat you. But Jesus sets it forth in a positive sense. Because he says, and as ye would that men should do to you. It's not what you don't do or what they, it's what you do. What you'd have them do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It is the same thing as Paul when he says, love your neighbors as yourselves. What you would have men to do to you, then you do to them likewise. Love your neighbors as yourselves. And so the positive aspect of this is you need to take the initiative. We need to take the initiative to display this kind of love. And so tonight, let me give you three things that I see in the text here that sort of gets us some sort of organization in what we need to see. Number one, let me talk about the dependence of the golden rule. The dependence of the golden rule. Now, we talked about this this morning after the sermon. We talked about the inability, or we could say the impossibility, of us in the flesh being able to pull this off. Because it's not treat others the way they treat you. People are mean to you, be mean to them. If they're nice to you, be nice. It's not that. Because we have no problem doing that, right? I have no problem treating people the way they treat me. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You respect me, I'll respect you. You heard that before? We have no problem doing that. But this loving our enemies, this doing to others as we would have them do to us, this is not a requirement that we are able in and of ourselves to do. Say amen. We cannot simply do it. It's not something that we can say, I'll do better at that. We can attempt to do better at it, but we won't achieve doing it. Because it's not a turning over a new leaf. It's not trying harder and doing better. There is a supernatural response that is required here. You can't go to bed tonight and say, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to show love to my neighbors. I'm going to show love to my enemies. Because there's something more that is needed than what we naturally have to do this. We keep singing the song, right? Remember the old song, We Can Work It Out? We keep singing that. Anything that comes up, we sing the song, well, we can work it out, when really we can't work it out. It is only as God works in us that we can then work it out. It is our inability here. It is the realization that this is impossible, this is too hard, this is beyond our capabilities. It is that realization of inability that will drive us to God for the grace to work it out. It is our understanding of our constant failure to do this that drives us to God for help and maybe for salvation. So we see the inability, but I want to say something about the implication. And this is what I want to say. We are wrong, and it is wrong for us or anyone to try to separate the rule of love for man from the rule of love of God. Now let me try to explain that. We live in a society of people who are all about loving their fellow man. We're all about feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, the naked, bringing medicine to the injured. We're all about trying to show this, their understanding of love for their fellow man. They're all over that idea of loving their neighbor. And you would be, I guess, you would be hard-pressed to find people that weren't excited or at least opinionated in a positive way that we need to love our neighbors. We need to help our fellow man. They'll talk about that all day. They'll set up organizations. They'll set up nonprofits. They'll set up all kinds of things and work for that end all day long to help their fellow man. But there is no separation. There is no separation from the love for God and the love for man. There are two commandments, right? The first is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like the first, to love man, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it is the idea of loving God with all of your heart and loving God with all of your soul and loving God with all of your mind and strength. That's where they have the problem. The problem is not loving man. The problem with our society is when you say you have to love God. But the thing is, you can't separate the two. You can't love man if you don't love God. Because that kind of love that Jesus is talking about here is a divine love that must be given to us by God. It's outside of us. It is not of us. And so if we don't have a relationship with God, we don't have that kind of love. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God. If you don't love God, you love yourself. And I think the deeper you love God, the more you will be enabled to love your neighbor as yourself. So the golden rule, this idea of loving your enemies and loving and doing to others as you would have them do unto you, it is dependent upon a relationship with God through Christ. You can't do it. Lost people can't do it. Only God's children can do it, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, but I want you to take my word for it right now. You can't separate love for God from the love for man. I can't love my enemies if I'm not, don't have the indwelling of God in me. I can't. You see, the thing is, what we said this morning was, that's how God loves us. That's how Jesus loves us, and through the union with Christ, I have God living inside of me, and if God loves me that way, and He's living inside of me, then that love will also be expressed through me. And if they don't have God, can't love like this. So this is dependent upon a relationship with God through the work of Christ. Let me say, secondly, a few things about the difference of the golden rule. I just want to reread this and let you hear how Jesus says there's a difference here. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them that love you, what think of ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. If you'll remember, we said last week that the disciples of Christ were called by God to be different. I think that salvation, conversion, is a radical transformation. I believe the Bible. I believe old things pass away, all things become new. I think we are new creatures in Christ. And I think that we are different from unbelievers. We're different from a lost world. We're different from a culture that is decided and that is predicated on lostness. So the golden rule is something entirely different than the way the world understands things. The world says you treat others as they treat you. Jesus says you treat others as you would have them treat you. There is a radical difference made in the life of a believer. I believe that with all of my heart. Believers think differently and they act differently. And Christianity, I think, is countercultural. I don't think Christianity flows down the stream of modern-day culture. I think it is vastly countercultural. It is different than what the world thinks is right and true. In fact, I think that the differences that come through true, genuine regeneration are supposed to distinguish us from the culture in which we live. We live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are to be a peculiar people, a different people. There should be absolutely no blurring of the lines. We are God's children. We are not the children of this world. We're not cultural children. So let me say two things about the difference here. Number one, there is a selfless difference. I can't help but notice that Jesus tends to lead me to believe that a believer acts very selflessly. A true believer does not love those that just love him, because when we love those that just love us, we're being selfish. They don't just do good to those who do good to them, because that would be selfish. They don't just lend to those who can pay it back with interest, because that would be selfish. If I love those who love me, it's about me. If I do good to those who just do good to me, it's about me. If I lend to those who can just pay me back with interest and I can gain, it's about me. But when we love those who don't love us, do good to those who don't do good to us, lend to those who don't have the ability to pay back with interest. In other words, if we are doing things not just for the selfish, self-centered rewards of that, then I think we're close to where God has us. Selfless. Believers do right and they do good, even to their enemies. Why? Because Jesus said it was right to do. The simple, I can't think of any reason than that. Jesus said to love your enemies, that resonates with me because God lives inside of me. And Jesus said it was the right thing to do, and I believe everything that Jesus says. I think He's God. I think He is the authority. I think He is right and He is true, and when Jesus says it, it's the right thing to do. No haggling, no trying to justify. It's right. Self is not pushed to the front. Natural desires are not given their natural place, but believers, out of obedience to the Word and not to the benefit of ourselves, act selflessly. I would remind you that in our culture and days where things have been forgotten and things have been pushed to the side, I would just remind you, at our own detriment of gaining a crowd, Christianity is still about taking up a cross, still about denying yourself, and still about following Christ. It is a selfless difference. The world, our culture, is about self. Get all you can get. Have all the fun you can get. Do everything for yourself. And Christianity is about denying yourself, loving and doing good to your enemies. It's a selfless difference. And then secondly, it is a significant difference. Jesus says here, if you'd missed it, that if believers only love those who love them, if they only do good to those who do good to them, and if they only lend to those who can return the loan, they have done nothing more than a natural, depraved, defiled sinner does. This is what he's saying. If you just love those who love you, and do good to those who do good to you, and lend to those who can pay you back, you do nothing different than a lost world does. They do that. Sinners do that. You're not doing anything different. You're not distinguished in one bit different than a lost world. And you know who the Jews look down upon? You know who the Pharisees look down upon? Sinners. You remember the religious Pharisee that went to the temple, elevating himself with all of his deeds? What did he say? I'm glad I'm not like this publican. I'm glad I'm not like this sinner. And Jesus is saying, if all you do is love those who love you, and do good to those who do good to you, and lend to those who can return to you, you're no different than that sinner. We often think we're not like the sinners. We often condemn the sinners of our society. We often condemn the harlots and the adulterers and the homosexuals and the murders of the unborn. We have no problem standing up for those things. But Jesus says, if you don't love your enemies, you don't do good to your enemies, or you don't lend to those who can't pay you back and you can't make a buck upon, you're no better than they are. I would remind you, not only do practicing homosexuals and murderers and adulterers and harlots who don't repent of their sins go to hell, but good people, good honest people who never repent of their sins, they go to hell too. Understand this: to live at the level of our culture, to dive in and sort of camouflage ourselves and live our lives at the level of our culture does not single you out and does not mark you as different at all. And believers are to be different. Amen? So, number three. I thought it could get no quieter than it did this morning, but it suddenly has. Listen, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I'm trying to exercise a few of my own demons here. Amen? The demand of the golden rule. Notice what he says here. He says, but love ye, again he says, but love ye your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind and unthankful to the unthankful and to the evil. So what is the demand here? The demand of this golden rule to do to others as you would have them do unto you is that you are to love your enemies. You're to do good to your enemies. You are to lend to your enemies. You are to love your enemies, hoping nothing in return. That is what Christ demands of his followers. This is not a seeker-friendly situation. This is God bearing down on the requirements of being a follower of Christ. You're either in or you're out. This is what Christ works in the hearts and in the lives of his followers. That when he says you ought to love your enemies, the Holy Spirit begins to work in you loving your enemies. It may be a process, but something's happening, right? You're trying to figure out how to make this happen in the various aspects of your life. How can I do this, or can I do this and still show the love for my enemies? Can I do this, or can I not do this? All of these things begin to be a part of your contemplation. But there are two things I want you to remember as you think about the demand of the golden rule. Number one is the reward. I just want to tell you something. You can't always do things according to numbers on a piece of paper. There are times when it may be advantageous for you to do this, may be better for you to do that. But I want to remind you, you can't always decide on what brings us the most benefit and most advantage. We have to remember that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Our reward as believers will not come, well, maybe, will not come primarily from earthly things. Our reward will come from our Heavenly Father. And if you lend money and don't get it back, or if you do good and you're abused because you're doing good, or if you love when you're not loved, don't worry about it. God will reward you. Here's what I thought this afternoon. If I love someone who doesn't love me back, guess what? God has loved me with an everlasting love. I'm not going to lose on the love count. God loves me. He loves me more than anyone could ever love me. So if nobody ever loves me, I still win because God loves me. If I do good to those who never do good back, I'm okay, because every single day my God does me good. Every day He does good. He takes things that I don't even think can be good and He works them to good. All things working to good to those who love the Lord. If I give my things to someone and never get them back, don't worry about it. My God has for me a home in heaven. And everything I got, here's the thing. What do you have that you have not received from God? Everything I have has been given to me by the gracious hand of my God. I'm not losing in this deal. I am the recipient of the rewarder. We are to obey, and we are to know that God will reward us for our faithfulness to His word. Amen? How many of you think that if you truly did what God said to do, that you're going to come out on the wrong end of that? I don't think so. Remember the reward. And then secondly, remember the resemblance. you see what he says here? It's remarkable. He says, "But love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Do you see what Jesus is saying there? When you love your enemies, you are looking just like your Father. You see that? When we are loving our enemies, when we love our enemies who don't love us back, when we are doing good to our enemies who don't do us good back, when we are lending to our enemies knowing that they're not going to give it back, we are manifesting and revealing who our true Father is. My earthly father is dead, but I have a heavenly Father. And he promised that he has predestined that I be conformed to the image of his Son. Am I looking like Jesus? Do I resemble my Father? He says here, when you do these things, when you love your enemies, when you treat others the way you would want to be treated, when you do that, you're looking a lot like your Father. Now, you only have one of two fathers, right? You're either of your Father God or of your Father Satan. And you resemble one or the other. Amen? As we obey God, we are manifesting our resemblance to our Father. And Jesus tells us why here. Why? How am I resembling my Father by loving my enemy, by doing good to those who don't do me good and loving those who don't love me? How am I doing that? Because he says here, God is kind to the unthankful. And God is kind to the evil. You see, God's not asking you to do anything that he doesn't do. And he's not asking you to do anything that he doesn't enable you to do. The Bible tells us that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And I would remind you that if God was not like this, none of us would ever have any opportunity, any chance to be saved. If God didn't show his kindness to the unthankful and the evil, you and I have no hope. The God who loves you, the God who saved you, the God who dwells in you says, resemble me. This is how you do it. I don't even think we could be kept by God if God wasn't like this, because even after I'm saved, there are times that I'm unthankful and there's times that I think and do evil things, and yet God loves me. God is still kind and merciful to me. So by loving our enemies, we are showing forth that this world is not our home. We are not merely citizens of this land. We are children and citizens of a different land. Our Father, God, is in us. Do I look like him? C.S. Lewis, I found this amusing. C.S. Lewis said, "We're always wanting a Christianity that is comfortable, easily done, easily received." C.S. Lewis said, when asked about being comfortable, he said this, and I don't judge him on this. He said, "If I really wanted to feel comfortable, they make stuff in a bottle that can help me be comfortable." But he said, "If I wanted to be really comfortable, I would not choose Christianity, because it doesn't make you comfortable. Not in this world. This world is not our home. We are pilgrims and sojourners here. We will be comfortable once we get with Him. Amen? But not here. Not here. Don't expect to feel comfortable in your Christianity. True, genuine, Bible Christianity. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, take Your Word. Use it for Your glory. I pray, God, that You would cause us to think on these things, to go back and reread the text, to pray, to seek Your help, to seek Your guidance in displaying You in our lives, that people may see God in Christ in us and not simply ourselves. Help me in the things that I am thinking about and how to do this and how to operate in this sphere and make sure that I am showing love for my enemies, that I'm doing good to those who won't do good for me, that I'm praying and I am giving to those who will not give back, to those who use me and despitefully use me. I want to show them God and not myself. And so I pray that You help me, help everyone here to take Your Word and the Holy Spirit to apply it to areas of our lives that need it. And we'll thank You for the privilege to glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.